Good evening and welcome to the service. We have a bit of a different service this evening, different from the normal at least. We'll be starting with two songs, and then we will have announcements directly after that, and then an extended prayer time, and then myself and Joseph and Ollie will be giving three short topics.
Oh, worship the King of Lords of love, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a brilliant in splendor and girded with praise.
Take your announcements at this time.
Appreciate how most of you have been, or you have been with us as we have wrestled with the issue of the seminar this fall over in India, and the decision was reached that we would not be going as a group and conducting the seminar as we had in the past, and appreciate your concern and your interest in that process. As many of you will probably remember, Brother Vidya Nadimala from Canada has gone over and is meeting with representatives from the three districts. Last evening we had a meeting as a mission committee, spent some prayer time together specifically for the pastors there. This morning then I was able to make a contact where I was able to talk with the group of pastors and greet the six that were meeting there. And we thought it would be good if we could have a special time of prayer that would kind of help to unite us with them. We're attempting a phone feed over to their meeting this evening, which would be tomorrow morning at about 7:30 or something like that over there. They're 11 and a half hours different from us. So I would like if we could all participate in this part and consider this your way of connecting with our brethren who are meeting even as we speak over in India. I think we'll begin with one verse of song, and then I've asked, there's four of you or of us that have been in India that will each spend a bit of time on different prayer concerns regarding the work in India. Then we want to close with another song. So, John, if you could lead us in a song now, please. Sing real loud, they can hear you halfway around the world.
Let's sing one verse if there is a God.
There is beyond the azure blue, a God seen from blue.
Okay, for this prayer time, I've asked Gary to lead out in a prayer specifically for the situation in India as a nation, the political climate, and the openness to Christianity, religious tolerance, some of those questions. What will work the best? Oren, where are you? Oren and Merle? Why don't you come out to the aisle, maybe sit along the side here on the aisle, and then we can pass the mic from one to the other there. Let's all stand together for this prayer. Those of you who can conveniently, just come get the mic, Gary. Maybe I'll introduce the other special concerns. Oren, for the churches, for strength, for courage, for protection, for the believers. And Merle, for the church families, those that have been displaced especially, and the ones who are struggling to find you in this difficult situation, then I'm going to pray specifically for the pastors. Just pass it from you to Oren to Merle, and then back, or then I can take it from here. Let's pray.
Our Father, you are in heaven. We come to you tonight to ask that your name would be honored around the globe tonight. We pray that it would be made holy by any acts that you do and by your people. We pray tonight that you would help us to accomplish what you have for us, each one in our spheres. And we pray especially for the all the elected leaders and appointed leaders, judges and rulers in India, that they could honor you in what they do. Pray that you would help them to live by the Constitution that grants religious freedom to the Christians in India. I pray that you would give them wisdom as they listen to the pressures that Hindus may bring, and help them to stand for principle and right, and pray that in this time your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that you would bring a revival through the Holy Spirit. Pray against the forces of darkness. Pray that that you would glorify your name in a mighty way in this time. Pray for strength and courage for those who need it tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his name's sake.
Father, we just at this time ask that you would be gracious that the ones in India, the churches that are being persecuted, might sense your nearness. We just pray for strength and for courage. We know that that your word says that in our weakness we are strong. And so we just pray that at the time that it might seem the darkest, that they might also just remember that you, you're all-powerful, and that you've not forgotten them. And so we just pray that there may be growth in the churches, in individual lives, in numbers, and that they might, during this difficult time, just pull together, band together, encourage one another. And we just know that your word does say that all things do work together for good to those who love you, who are the called according to his purpose. And might this just give them an eternal perspective and a longing for heaven. And might it just, we just pray that for them they might just settle it in their hearts that no matter what comes, that they will follow you. And so we just pray that the church might grow and flourish during this difficult time. And we just pray that they might just experience the nearness of your Holy Spirit during this time. We pray it in Jesus' name.
God, as I continue in this prayer, I thank you for the blessing of knowing you as God, of knowing you as a Father who cares. And I just pray especially for the families in India that have undergone traumatic experience of being chased away from their homes, some having lost their homes or their houses where they live. I just ask God that you would be that they would feel the blessing of knowing you as a Father who cares. We know that it doesn't change, but sometimes we don't feel it as much as at other times. So I ask that they could feel that presence and that blessing. I ask God that you would provide for their physical needs, such as food, clothing, and also pray that you would give them the shelter that they need. We also ask, too, that you would protect them from crippling fears. We know that this is something that we all face and struggle with, and especially in a situation like that, I ask God that you would be, that they would sense your presence and that they would feel your nearness, and that even in the face of the situation that they're in, that they could be strong in you. Especially pray for the children who may not yet have the experience of knowing and trusting in you. I pray that they could learn to develop that. And I just ask, Lord, that through this whole experience that the church would be strengthened, that the families would be drawn closer together, that there would be a bond that would help to build the church, and that in the end this would work for the good, and that your kingdom would be strengthened. I ask this in the name of Jesus.
Yes, dear God, we come to you this evening. We just thank you for this avenue of prayer that we can come to you. We think of the communications of this world and how there's so many snags and problems with it, but that we have access to your throne, and we're instructed in your word to come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I just pray that tonight, as we intercede at your throne on behalf of our brethren in India, and as we're uniting our hearts together with them, I just pray that you would, in a very real way, strengthen, that you would encourage, that you would give the ministry of your Holy Spirit, both in comforting where there's trouble and there's fear and there's tension, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving of wisdom. We just pray that you would, in a mighty way, work in the hearts and lives of each one that are gathered there in Cuttack this evening or tomorrow morning, as the case is for them, that they could have a time of fellowship and of being encouraged in the Word, that you would give them wisdom in practical ways to know how to deal with some of this displacement and the difficulties of the destruction that many of them have seen and have faced. I just pray that you would give them strength. I pray for a special anointing of your Holy Spirit on the lives of the leaders, especially as they seek to give direction. Pray for those areas that have been especially hot, that you would just help, that where the devil has made his assault, that you would show your grace much more. Just pray that you would show yourself in a new way as the good shepherd to each one of these, to these dear people. And I just pray that they could find your peace and your presence reassuring and calming in the face of difficulty. Then I pray that the forces of evil would be confounded. We know Jesus. We acknowledge you as the victor over the devil, over death, and over hell at the cross. And we know that you say of your church that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And we just ask you to show yourself strong on the behalf of your children in India. And we just lift them to you. I just pray specifically for the six pastors from the different areas that we believe are all there, Rehobium. Pray that you would be with him and his wife, with Nathan Pani, their family, and the difficulties they've had. I just pray that you would be with them in a mighty way. Pray for Bishwanath Digal, Nirarkar Sethi from the Pulwani area, the district that's been hit the hardest probably. Just lift them to you, dear God, and I just pray that you would fill them with your presence and with your power and with your strength as they face the very uncertain times ahead. Pray for Raphael Samal and Paniganai from Rayagada. I just pray that you would be with them and that you would give them grace and strength as they seek to lead out. I just pray that many souls in this difficult time would be weighing the cost of Christianity and would decide that they want to be with the with the force that will ultimately triumph. Pray that we be with Brother Vidya and Chohan as they interact over this time. I just pray that they could have a time of real encouragement and prayer and strengthening of each other. Just pray that all of us could anew sense our responsibilities to lift our brethren to you, to the throne of grace. So just go with us throughout the rest of this service and be with our brethren, our friends, over in Cuttack as they go through their meeting today. Go with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Continue to pray for the church in India and also for those that are doing the persecution, not just for those who are hurting, but also for the people that are doing the persecution, that they may see as Apostle Paul had seen and turn back to Jesus on the road to Damascus when Christ encountered him. I trust that will be our situation here in India, where many, many people will come to know Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. Here is Bishwanath Digal.
This will be praying in Oriya.
Pavitra, pavitra, mahan, pavitra, prema, madal, sargasa, pita. Prabhu, tumar dhanyavad, kurchu, tumar prasun, sa, kurchu. Gatarashira, samasa, pakara, padhiku, kadam, payar, tumyaman, kudhar, kori. Ajir, sundar, pratisa, dekhi, agudila, puni, prabha, kare, prabhu. তোমার দাস মানকর গণরে তোমার ধন্যবাদ করিবা পাই সুযোগ দেলে সেথিপাই তুমি মহিমানিত হো তুমি গৌরবানিত হো প্রশংসিত হো সদা সর্বদা যেপরি প্রভু আমি তুমি ধন্যবাদ দিই পারিব সেথিপাই তুমি আমানকে সদা সর্বদা স্মরণ করুছ সেথিপাই ধন্যবাদ দেউছ বিশেষ করি অবসর প্রভু আমি প্রার্থনা করুছ যে সেন্ট্রাল আমি মেনা নাইট চর্চর প্রিয় ভাই ও এবং বোন মানে যে মানে প্রভু দিবারাত্র আমাকে নিমন্ত্রণ প্রার্থনা করতে সেমান্ত প্রভু বিশেষ ভাবে নিবেদন প্রার্থনা করছো ଯେଉଁମାନେ ଅଛନ୍ତି ପ୍ରଭୁମାନଙ୍କ ନିମନ୍ତେ କର୍ମକର୍ତ୍ତା ଲୟଲ ଭାଇ, ପୁଣି ମଲ୍ଲି ଅର୍ଡର, ଡେଭିଡ ଅର୍ଡର, ଓରେନ ଅର୍ଡର, ପୁଣି ତାଙ୍କର ପରିବାର ତଥା ସମସ୍ତ ପ୍ରାଚୀନ ମାନଙ୍କୁ ଏଲ୍ଡର୍ସ ଆଣ୍ଡ ବ୍ରଦର୍ସ ଆଣ୍ଡ ସିଷ୍ଟର୍ସ ଦୋଜୁଆର ପ୍ରେଇ ୱିଦାଉଟ କେଜିଂ ପ୍ରେଇଂ ଫର ୟୁ ଲର୍ଡ ପ୍ଲିଜ ହେଲ୍ପ ସବୁ ତୁମେ ଆମକୁ ପ୍ରତ୍ୟେକଙ୍କୁ ଦୟା କର ଆଉ ବିଶେଷ କରି ଆମମାନେ ଯେଉଁ ସାହାଯ୍ୟ ସହଯୋଗ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା ସାହାଯ୍ୟ ସହଯୋଗ ସେ ପ୍ରିୟ ମଣ୍ଡଳୀ ଦ୍ୱାରା ପାଉଛୁ, ମାତୃମଣ୍ଡଳୀ ଦ୍ୱାରା ପାଉଛୁ, ସବୁ ସେ ମଣ୍ଡଳୀକୁ ବାହୁଲ୍ୟ ଭାବରେ ତୁମେ ଆଶୀର୍ବାଦ କର। ପ୍ରତ୍ୟେକ ବିଶ୍ୱାସୀ ଭାଇ ଭଉଣୀ ମାନଙ୍କୁ ତୁମେ ଅଧିକ ରୁଦ୍ଧ ଭାରଗ୍ରସ୍ତ ଭାବରେ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା କରିବା ପାଇଁ ତୁମେ ମନୋବଳ ଦିଅ। ଧନ୍ୟବାଦ ଦେଉଛୁ ପ୍ରଭୁ ସେମାନେ ଯେଉଁ ସାହାଯ୍ୟ ଏବଂ ଆମମାନଙ୍କ ନିମନ୍ତେ ନିବେଦନ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା କରୁଛନ୍ତି, ସେମାନଙ୍କ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା ଏବଂ ସାହାଯ୍ୟ ପ୍ରଭୁ କର୍ମୀତ୍ର ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା ଏବଂ ଦାନ ସ୍ୱରୂପ ପ୍ରଭୁ ସ୍ୱର୍ଗରେ ଗୃହୀତ ହେବ ବୋଲି ଆମମାନେ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା କରୁଅଛୁ। ବିଶେଷ କରି ପ୍ରଭୁ ବିଭିନ୍ନ ପ୍ରକାର ମାଧ୍ୟମରେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଦୁଃଖୀ ବିଧବା ପୁଣି ବିଭିନ୍ନ ପ୍ରକାର ଉପାୟରେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ସେମାନେ ଦାନ ସଂଗ୍ରହ କରି ଆମମାନଙ୍କ ନିମନ୍ତେ ପୁଣି ବିଶେଷ କରି ଓଡ଼ିଶାରେ ସେବା କାର୍ଯ୍ୟ ନିମନ୍ତେ ଯେଉଁ ସାହାଯ୍ୟ ପଠାଉଛନ୍ତି ପ୍ରଭୁ ସେଥି ନିମନ୍ତେ ଆମମାନେ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା କରୁଛୁ ସେମାନଙ୍କୁ ପ୍ରଭୁ ସେମାନଙ୍କ ହସ୍ତକୁ ମଜବୁତ କର, ପୁଣି ସେମାନଙ୍କର ସମସ୍ତ ପ୍ରକାର ବିଷୟରେ ତୁମେ ଆଶୀର୍ବାଦ କର। ଆମମାନେ ଯେଉଁମାନେ ଏଠାରେ କାର୍ଯ୍ୟ କରୁଛୁ ପ୍ରଭୁ ସେବା କାର୍ଯ୍ୟ ଆଉ ତୁମେ ଆମମାନଙ୍କୁ ବ୍ୟବହାର କରି ଆଣିଅଛ, ଆମମାନଙ୍କୁ ମଧ୍ୟ ବାହୁଲ୍ୟ ଭାବରେ ତୁମେ ଦୟା କର। ଏଇ ଦୁର୍ଦିନ ସମୟରେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଆମମାନେ ଯେପରି ସମସ୍ତ ବିଷୟରେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ସହ୍ୟ କରି ଏଇ ସମସ୍ତ ପରିସ୍ଥିତିକୁ ଅତିକ୍ରମ କରିବୁ ସେଥି ନିମନ୍ତେ ଆମମାନଙ୍କୁ ବଳ ଏବଂ ଶକ୍ତି ଯୋଗାଅ। ପୁଣି ସମସ୍ତ ପରିସ୍ଥିତି ମଧ୍ୟରେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଆମମାନେ ତୁମକୁ ଅସ୍ୱୀକାର ନ କରି ସଦାସର୍ବଦା ପ୍ରଭୁ ଆମମାନେ ତୁମଠାରେ ଭରସା ରଖି ବଞ୍ଚିବାକୁ ପାରିବୁ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଏପରି କୃପା କର। ତୁମେ ସଦାସର୍ବଦା ତୁମର ବାହୁ ଛାୟା ତଳେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ମାଈ କୁକୁଡ଼ା ଯେପରି ତା ଛୁଆମାନଙ୍କୁ ଯୋଗେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ସେହିପରି ଆମମାନଙ୍କୁ ସମସ୍ତ କୁପରିସ୍ଥିତିରୁ ଆମମାନଙ୍କୁ ତୁମେ ସୁରକ୍ଷା କର। ପ୍ରଭୁ ବିଶେଷ ଭାବରେ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା କରୁଛୁ ଏ ସମୟରେ କନ୍ଧମାଳ ଅଞ୍ଚଳରେ ତଥା ଗଜପତି ଅଞ୍ଚଳ ପୁଣି ଯେଉଁ ଯେଉଁ ଜାଗା ମାନଙ୍କର ବିଶେଷ ଭାବରେ କ୍ଷତିଗ୍ରସ୍ତ ହୋଇଥିବା ସେ ତୁମର ପ୍ରିୟ ଲୋକମାନଙ୍କ ନିମନ୍ତେ ସେମାନଙ୍କୁ ତୁମେ ବାହୁଲ୍ୟ ଭାବରେ ସାନ୍ତ୍ୱନା ଦିଅ, ତୁମର ସାନ୍ତ୍ୱନା ଦିଅ ପ୍ରଭୁ, ତୁମର ସେଇ ସ୍ୱର୍ଗୀୟ ଶାନ୍ତି ଦିଅ ଯେପରି ପ୍ରଭୁ ତୁମର ଉପସ୍ଥିତିକୁ ତୁମର ପ୍ରଚୁରତାକୁ ଏବଂ ତୁମର ମହାନ ପ୍ରତିକ୍ଷଣକୁ ସେପରି ସମସ୍ତେ ଅନୁଭବ କରିବେ ସେଥିପାଇଁ ତୁମେ ଦୟା କର। ବିଶେଷ ଭାବରେ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା କରୁଛୁ ପ୍ରଭୁ ବିଦ୍ୟା ସାର୍ଙ୍କ ନିମନ୍ତେ, ତୁମେ ତାଙ୍କୁ ସୁଦୂର କାନାଡ଼ାର ପ୍ରଭୁ ଆମମାନଙ୍କର ମଧ୍ୟକୁ ଆଣିଛ ଏବଂ ଆମମାନଙ୍କର ମଧ୍ୟରେ ତାଙ୍କୁ ଉପସ୍ଥିତ କରେଇଅଛ, ସେଥିପାଇଁ ଆମମାନେ ତାଙ୍କ ନିମନ୍ତେ ଧନ୍ୟବାଦ ଦେଉଛୁ, ତାଙ୍କର ପରିବାର ନିମନ୍ତେ ଧନ୍ୟବାଦ ଦେଉଛୁ ପ୍ରଭୁ। ସମସ୍ତ ପରିସ୍ଥିତି ସତ୍ତ୍ୱେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ବହୁତ କଷ୍ଟ ସ୍ୱୀକାର କରି ସେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଏତେ ଦୂର ତୁମର ଦାସ ଆସିଛନ୍ତି, ତାଙ୍କୁ ତୁମେ ବାହୁଲ୍ୟ ଭାବରେ ଅନୁଗ୍ରହ କର, ତାଙ୍କର ସେବା କାର୍ଯ୍ୟ ଉପରେ ତୁମେ ଆଶୀର୍ବାଦ କର। ଆଉ ସେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଏମ୍ବିଚର୍ ଯେତେ ଅଛନ୍ତି ପ୍ରିୟ ଭାଇ ଭଉଣୀ ମାନେ ଆଉ ପ୍ରାଚୀନ ମାନେ ସେମାନଙ୍କୁ ତୁମେ ବାହୁଲ୍ୟ ଭାବରେ ଦୟା କର ପ୍ରଭୁ। ସାଙ୍ଗରେ ଆମମାନଙ୍କର ଚୌହାନ ସାର ଅଛନ୍ତି, ତାଙ୍କର ପରିବାରକୁ, ତାଙ୍କର ସେବା କାର୍ଯ୍ୟକୁ, ପୁଣି ବିଶେଷ କରି ଆମମାନଙ୍କ ନିମନ୍ତେ ଯେଉଁ ଭାରଗ୍ରସ୍ତ ଓଡ଼ିଶା ସେବା କାର୍ଯ୍ୟ ନିମନ୍ତେ ଯେଉଁ ଭାରଗ୍ରସ୍ତ ସେ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା କରୁଛନ୍ତି, ତାଙ୍କର ସମସ୍ତ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା ତୁମ ନିକଟରେ ସୁଗନ୍ଧିତ ପ୍ରସଙ୍ଗରେ ସୁବିଧା ହେବ, ପୁଣି ପ୍ରତ୍ୟେକଟି ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନାର ଉପଯୁକ୍ତ ସମୟରେ ସମସ୍ତ ବିଷୟରେ ଉତ୍ତର ଦିଅ ବୋଲି ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା କରୁଛୁ। ଧନ୍ୟବାଦ ଦେଉଛୁ ବିଶେଷ କରି ପ୍ରଭୁ ଶ୍ୟାମାନଙ୍କର ମାତୃମଣ୍ଡଳୀ ସେଣ୍ଟ୍ରାଲ ଆମେସି ମନାନାଇଡି ଚର୍ଚ୍ଚର ସମସ୍ତ ପ୍ରିୟ ଭାଇ ଭଉଣୀ ପ୍ରାଚୀନ ପ୍ରତ୍ୟେକଙ୍କ ନିମନ୍ତେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଆମମାନଙ୍କୁ ସଦାସର୍ବଦା ଏହି ସୁନ୍ଦର ସୌଭାଗ୍ୟତା ଦେଇ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଆମମାନଙ୍କର ଲକ୍ଷ୍ୟ ଯେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ତୁମ ରାଜ୍ୟ ଏବଂ ଗୌରବ ନିମନ୍ତେ ବଞ୍ଚିବା, ଏହା ଯେପରି ଆମମାନେ ସଦାସର୍ବଦା ଆଖି ଆଗରେ ରଖି ତୁମକୁ ନେଇ ବଞ୍ଚିବାକୁ ପାରିବୁ ସେଥିପାଇଁ ଆମମାନଙ୍କୁ ପ୍ରତ୍ୟେକଙ୍କୁ ଦୟା କର ବୋଲି ଏହି ସମସ୍ତ ନିବେଦନ ପ୍ରାର୍ଥନା ଆମମାନଙ୍କର ଉଦ୍ଧାରକର୍ତ୍ତା ପ୍ରେମମୟ ପବିତ୍ର ପ୍ରିୟ ପ୍ରଭୁ ଯୀଶୁଙ୍କ ନାମରେ ମାଗୁଅଛୁ, ଆମେନ୍।
Clarification. Bishwanath is from the pastor from the area that has been the hardest hit with the conflict, and I'm not sure. I think he is still living away from his home. There's been a lot of displacement in that area.
Try to boost our self-esteem, maybe. We tend to use jabs, I think, as a way of helping us feel a little more on top of things, maybe. And that, I think that can be why it's hard to give affirmation and encouragement. frankness is not always a bad thing, but sometimes I found it's easy to use what I intend to be taken as a playful jab. I use that as a way of making a serious point, hoping they can laugh it off, yet at the same time maybe think about it a little bit. I think maybe something will soak in a little bit. And that can, I think that can lead to some distrust. We should, if we have a problem with someone, we should be willing to get outside our comfort zone and talk directly to the person about that and try to resolve that rather than trying to get something across in a more playful way. We need to be sensitive to others, and be willing to listen to people's fears and their insecurities. Isaiah 35, 3 and 4 says, if I can find it here, "Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not." Telling us to be an encouragement to others, to strengthen the feeble. Also, we must be very careful not to do anything that would cause offense through careless words. Proverbs 18, verse 19 says, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." It shows how, I think, how deep hurt can go and how hard that can be to overcome. Like I said, everyone has some insecurities, and we can help people overcome their insecurities, or we can prolong them or make them worse. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein breaks the spirit." There are a few things that feel as good to me as when someone affirms me or encourages me. I think it's especially noticeable if it's someone who I find intimidating or someone that just scares me a little bit that I'm not too sure about. A few words of affirmation really mean a lot. Showing appreciation for someone can be a big boost in self-confidence. Again, Proverbs 16:23 and 24 say, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." There again, just showing the two extremes, how helpful encouragement is, and how damaging the other can be. So we acknowledge it's a bad habit, and I would like to hear from you. How do we work at changing that? What's some good advice on how we can get out of that? I don't have anything there, so if you want to hear something, you have to say it. Okay, so now I will move to the other end, which is then receiving affirmation. I was discussing this with my sister, and she brought this up, how easy it is for us to then brush off compliments when they're given. We all like receiving compliments. We like the way it feels, but yet at the same time, it's easy to. I think it makes us uncomfortable, and we tend to kind of shrink away from it. Maybe that's a sign there's not enough of it going around. Why do we feel like we need to make a disclaimer every time someone says something nice about us?
Maybe it's because they're not used to it.
That could be. I think that's a very good observation.
I think pride has a lot to do with it. It's like humility to accept the compliment.
So, go ahead.
I would agree with the judge that, and in the ironic sense, I think we have a manufactured sense of idea of humility. And that our idea of humility is to brush it off. Mm-hmm. I've heard someone describe humility as not having a low view of ourselves, but having an accurate view of ourselves.
Yes, that's a very good point.
I think one motivation sometimes for myself I've found is if I issue a disclaimer, then maybe the person will override the disclaimer and they can comment more.
Yes. So, I guess the challenge is next time someone compliments you, tell them thank you, and don't say anything else. I think that's not what should be done every time, but I think it's good exercise for us. If you've done something well, you don't need to make excuses for it. Thank you. I will turn the time over to Joseph.
Well, good evening. I think I'll start with a question that I've often asked my friends when they're making decisions. I ask them, how do you hear God's voice? Because I've often wondered how is the best way to hear God's voice. And I've heard a number of different responses from people. Some of the responses have been, well, it feels right, or I've talked with my friends about it, and they've encouraged me that this is a good thing to do. And so I've kind of concluded for myself that often we can hear God through people who are closest to us, who are willing to speak into our lives. And another way I hear God and gain perspectives about God is the books I read. I like to read, and I'll refer to some, or I'll be reading a little bit out of some of the books I've been reading. A few random things, I guess, that I would say God has been working in my life has been being more patient with people, slow down and enjoy what I'm doing, show appreciation for the things people do for me, like Danny was talking about, and being more diplomatic with my point of view. A bigger issue, I guess, that I've been thinking about a lot in the past number of years, I'd say, is my position in politics. We've just come through an election, and I've talked a lot with other people about politics and discussions about our involvement in politics. And two of the books I've read recently is David Berceau, The Kingdom That Turned the World Upside Down, and I'm reading Philip Yancey, The Jesus I Never Knew. And those are both books that have helped me gain a better perspective on my place in politics, I guess. I think I'll read a little bit out of David Berceau's book. It's a chapter, or one paragraph here, Living as Foreign Residents. When the church was still close to the time of the apostles, Christians truly lived in this world as strangers and foreign residents. They lived by kingdom values, which made them noticeably different from the world around them. Because their focus was on Jesus Christ and his kingdom, the public affairs of this world were essentially irrelevant to them. Hermas, who wrote around the year AD 150, said, "You know that you are the servants of God, dwell in a strange land, for your city is far away from this one. If then you know your city is which you are to dwell, why do you here provide lands, make expensive preparations, and accumulate dwellings and useless buildings? He who makes such preparations for this city cannot return again to his own. Do you understand that all these things belong to another and are under the power of another? Take note, therefore, as one living in a foreign land, make no further preparation for yourselves except what is merely sufficient, and be ready to leave this city when the master of this city will come to cast you out for disobeying his law." And then another paragraph is written by Origen. He was one of the most brilliant men of this day. For several decades, he served as a teacher in the church in Alexandria. Later, he moved to Caesarea, where he was ordained as an elder. One of Origen's most valuable works was his reply to Celsus, a pagan critic of Christianity. Celsus also urges us to take office in the government of the country, if that is necessary for the maintenance of the laws and the support of religion. However, we recognize in each state the existence of another national organization that was founded by the Word of God, and we exhort those who are mighty in word and blameless and of blameless life to rule over churches. It is not for the purpose of escaping public duties that Christians decline public office. Rather, it is so that they may reserve themselves for a more divine and necessary service in the Church of God for the salvation of men. That's all I'll read from his book. One quote from Philip Yancey's book is, "Goodness cannot be imposed externally from the top down. It must grow internally from the bottom up." I think one of the arguments people often give for being involved in politics is to change morality. And if we vote for a candidate who will enforce or change laws to enforce morality, then that's a good reason to vote. And that's why I read that quote. I guess one of the issues that I, or one of the, or one way that I think we can be involved in changing people's hearts and being involved in organizations that do that. One of those organizations is the Open Door Pregnancy Center. They deal with the issue of abortion on a level that I think is right. They work with each woman that comes to them and they try to change their position. They try to help lead them to God, most importantly, and they try to help them to understand about the sanctity of life. And I think that is changing people one heart at a time, but I think that is the best way to change morals in this country, or to improve the morality of this country. God changes people one heart at a time, and man tries to control through legislation. Another problem with getting involved in politics is these men are human, and if we support, if we jump in and say we're voting for this person because of his stand on abortion, say, what are we going to say about issues that we don't agree with, that issues that are not right, that aren't Christian? How are we going to explain this to non-Christians, for instance? Take the issue of war. And in the kingdom of God, we don't have these problems, because we can support God 100%. He doesn't change, and we know the whole story. And I'd also like to read from John 15 and John 18, Jesus' words to his disciples. John 15, verses 18 and 19. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." And then John 18, 36 and 37. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." But that was just verse 36. And then I think I'll end with Matthew 5, verses 13 and 16 through 16. I guess my belief is that I am of another kingdom, and my purpose on this earth is to be a witness for Jesus. And these verses in Matthew 5 go along with that. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." That's all I have. Thank you.
What has the Lord shown me in my life as I grew spiritually, let's say? There was a time in my life that I wondered about how I should make some decisions, some major decisions. And my dad had some good advice for me. Something that I have learned in life that I'd even like to learn more is about forgiveness. That's what life is about. That's what the Christian life is about. We were instructed well here with what Joseph had to say. And also Daniel, with what Joseph had to say about the Lord and his kingdom. This is what we're actually interested in. This is what's going to last. This, not this kingdom here, not the earthly kingdom, but the heavenly kingdom. And that's what we're striving for. And the Lord did show me early in life what it took to be forgiven. What does it take? Give me a few ideas. What does it take to be forgiven? Repent is the first thing. What more could we say that does it take to be forgiven? We would have to have done something wrong, all right?
Confession.
Confession?
Someone will have suffered hurt.
All right. Those are all good. David, were you going to say something? That is a very important one, too. Appreciate that. That's what I was coming to. It seems like the world talks about forgiveness. The church, a lot of churches talk about forgiving or being forgiven. And it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven, to look for that kingdom that Joseph was talking about, to work there toward that end. And that's something that I think a lot of Christendom today is overlooking. A lot of what so-called Christendoms. Something that I think is real serious and something that the Lord has shown to me to give me the peace that we need. Unless we forgive, I'm just going to read it. Matthew, you know where it is. Matthew 6. Maybe even in chapter 5, I'm going to read a few verses there, 43 on. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Then be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And then the very next chapter, the Lord's Prayer, where he says, after this manner pray ye therefore, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And on down to what we want to get to is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he says, after the Lord's Prayer, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is a serious thing. We talk about this as far as we often think of non-Christians doing things against us. The sinners, the people out there. But to me, this also is a very serious thing within a church group. We need to forgive each other. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We can offend each other. But this is something that my dad had talked to me about, how important this is to forgive others in order to be forgiven. And I've often cherished my dad's admonition. And I've heard it in church many times anyhow. But it seems to me that something that, dare I say, almost divides the sheep from the goats. It's a serious thing to not forgive. And it's so easy to offend someone. And it's so easy to be offended and not forgive. But I think reading in books that I've read concerning this has helped me a lot to understand this, what the Lord means when he says these things. This is the way to have joy in the Lord. We ask the question, what is joy in the Lord? I hadn't thought of this until now, but Daryl, our son, told me in the last year or two that, Dad, I remember how you used to say that we should give. Not with the idea of getting. He said, it works that way. The Lord does bless, maybe not necessarily with money, but he does bless if we give. He said, I remember how you used to teach that. And Daryl has made a commitment in his life that we're glad for. He said, but it works that way. And he was talking about even the money part. But he realized that wasn't really the thing. His blessing is really from the Lord, how the Lord blesses him in his life. So we hear these things from our youth, a lot of us. And me, as a 73-year-old man, am still learning what it means. It seems like we don't get old enough to not be reminded about some things sometimes. In our thought life, this is something that I cherish. My thought life is so different than it has been at times. Even then, it's not perfect. Sometimes I think things I shouldn't. But the Lord will help us if our thought life is in line. It's important to keep the right attitude toward the Lord and those around us. Even those that might hurt us, it's important that we keep the right attitude in our thought life. This is something that the Lord has been showing me more in the latter years, and probably haven't grown as fast and as that I should have. But this is very important. We hear the expression at times, and I guess it's even in the Bible, it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. Is that always true? Why is it not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves? What usually happens when we compare ourselves among ourselves? Is it not often to try to justify ourselves in something that we're doing that's foolish? We try to justify ourselves. We see, oh, he does it. What's wrong with it? But when we compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus and his followers, didn't Paul say, I think I'll look it up, in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 9 to 11, Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's not quite the one I was looking for. Where is it that he says, follow me as I follow Christ? It might be. Go ahead and read it if you have it. Yes. Yes, good. Thank you. Yes. Now, if we take his words there and we follow the pattern, is that good enough? What? In essence, who are we really following? Christ. Yes, that's what I think that's, I'm sure that's what Paul is trying to say there, is saying that we want to follow Christ. And if we do that, I'm sorry, was somebody saying something? So, as far as being wise, it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. It is not if we try to justify foolishness and things that we shouldn't compare with. But when we compare ourselves with someone who is following the steps of Christ, it's very important because, in essence, we're following Christ. That's what we want to do. I had some more things here, but I really don't want to take much more time. There is something that I would like to mention. That is, followers of Christ who were willing to suffer. We don't know what it is. I don't know what it is to suffer. I am encouraged when I read of how others suffered. And I'm just going to go down the line here quickly. It was only In A.D. 34, when Stephen was stoned, the first martyr that we read of in the New Testament. And it was only 11 years after that that James, the son of Zebedee, was killed with a sword. And it was only 9 years after that that Philip was stoned. And it was only 9 years after that when James, the son of Alphaeus, was cast from the temple and stoned. And in the next year, four of the either apostles or disciples, Barnabas was one of Paul's companions, was burned. And Mark, the evangelist, died being dragged. They were going to kill him, but he died before they got to the place of execution. Peter was at that time. No, that was 5 years. I'm sorry. That was 5 years after those two that Peter was hung on the cross upside down. And Paul was beheaded already at that time. And then in the next year, there were about a dozen, like Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew and Simon Zelotes and Matthias, a real persecution, a real martyrdom in 70 years A.D. And in the next years, more of those we read about in the Bible. And in 110 A.D., that Ethiopian, the eunuch, who was baptized by Philip, was martyred. And then a lot of those, and a lot from there on into the 1200s, in the 1200s there was a big persecution of as many as thousands at one time. And then in the 1500s that we're acquainted with, and here we are in a land of freedom and taking things for granted too often. I really appreciated what was brought to us this evening about the people in India. I think that was a good thing for this evening to be reminded of what we have. And I guess my prayer is that we would, as a people, have that forgiving spirit so that we would be free. All these people that were mentioned here had that forgiving spirit. Mention was made here this evening also of politics, of voting. This kingdom here amounts to very little. Yet we have something to appreciate with our country, the way we're living in it now, compared to what others are in India and other places in the world. I would to God that he would help me understand that we can live close to him, that we can have peace of mind, that we can have contentment that he has designed for us, even if it comes to the point that we would need to suffer like they are in India and other places now, and like many have already. In the meantime, let's face life seriously. May our thought life be what it should be. May our goals be what they should be. Let's not try to rise to the top with popularity. It won't pay. It's no good. With a humble spirit, we serve the Lord and let him work. And the Lord will do great works in our lives if we listen to him in this way. May the Lord bless the evening. Is there something that someone would like to add to what I've said or correct before we close? It's a wonderful thing. It's a real relief to be able to do that. That's right. I think we will rise for a closing prayer. And David L., would you lead us in a closing prayer?